Om Jnana Tmirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
So this devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, devotion to God, is the message of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It is the essence of all religions, whether the religious process is expressed as Hinduism or Islam or Christianity. The essence of religion is devotion to the Supreme Person. Especially in India, the cult of bhakti, the word bhakti is used, which means devotion. In India, the cult of bhakti is widespread throughout all of Hindu society. There are many people who are known as great devotees, and many people, they take up the process of devotion or bhakti. However, what is the actual nature of devotion? That is often misunderstood. We may ask, why is ISKCON preaching devotion when there's already so much devotion? But actually, what is actually devotion? That is often misunderstood. And often people are advertised as great devotees, and they're understood by the general public to be great devotees, when actually they are not great devotees. They may be imitation devotees, artificial devotees, motivated devotees. They may be apparently great devotees for the sake of monetary gain or prestige, or they may have ulterior motives. What then is real devotion? What are the essential features that distinguish actual devotion from artificial shows of devotion or incomplete devotion or a misunderstood approach to devotion? If we were to look in the dictionary, we will find devotion defined, there are different elements, dedication to, absorption in, feelings for, particularly for a deity, although sometimes we hear about devotion to family and country, devotion to one's company, but in the pristine or the most essential definition of devotion means devotion to the supreme object of devotion, or God. Now, in the Vedic literature, this word bhakti comes. And the Vedic literature is not vague. Often people, they express they have great devotion, but they don't consider actually what is the meaning of that devotion. But the Vedic literature is very precisely and scientifically defines different terms. There are many terms used in Vedic philosophy or in all aspects of in the Vedic literature, in all the aspects of human society and psychology and spiritual subjects. Everything is very precisely and scientifically defined. So in the Vedic literatures, there are several definitions of bhakti, of devotion, which explain the essential characteristics of bhakti. Everything is to be understood by its characteristics. If we say this man is a rich man, it means he has certain characteristics. He has a lot of money in the bank. He has spending power. Generally, he'll have a big house, a big car. He'll be a respected, well-known person. Everything is known by its symptoms. Why do we say one woman is beautiful and one woman is ugly? And a beautiful woman may have a well-shaped body, with young, with fine hair and shapely hips. And these are all different features of a beautiful woman. An ugly woman may have pot belly and wrinkles and scraggly hair. So everything is understood by its symptoms. In the same way, what is actual devotion that is described in the Vedic literature. The essence is surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in service with no personal motive. In the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion, this is a book by Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, which defines and explains very categorically, very scientifically, what is the nature of devotion. It distinguishes real devotion from artificial devotion. So very clearly it is defined by Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, having taken the essence of all these scriptures. He defines the topmost level of devotion to be anyabhilashita shunyam jnanakamadhyanavritam anukulena krishna anushilanam bhakti uttama. He defines the topmost standard of devotion is that in which there is no personal desire. There's no personal desire for any kind of personal gratification, either on the subtle level or the gross level. On the gross level, personal desires are desires for house, home, family, material enjoyment by going to the heavenly planets, by becoming powerful. These are all gross material desires. One may approach God in apparent devotion for fulfillment of such desires. But that is rejected by Rupa Goswami. Many people, they come before God and they express great devotion. They may follow vows to supplicate God. They may regularly visit the temple, recite mantras. But their aim is to get something from God. They've understood that there is supreme power. But instead of surrendering to Him for His pleasure, they want to get some advantage for their own personal sense gratification. Another kind of contamination that blocks the path of pure devotion is the desire for liberation from this material world. Someone who is more intelligent understands that actually this material world is a place of misery. Let me try to get out of this misery. So they worship God for the sake of becoming liberated from this material world. But pure devotion means to serve God without any personal motivation. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, na dhanam na janam na sundarin kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhaktir ahaituki twai. O my Lord, I do not desire money, followers, women, or anything else that could be conceived of as enjoyable in this material world. I do not even desire to be liberated from this material world. I'm not approaching you for this. I simply desire to serve you without any personal motive, birth after birth. The ultimate expression of this selfless devotion is also expressed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ashlishya va padaratam pinashtumam adashanam namahatam karotu va yata tata va vidatatu lampatomat prananatas tus evanapara. Lord Chaitanya prays to Krishna that, my dear Lord, you may treat me nicely or even treat me very cruelly and reject me or make me broken-hearted by not being present before me. But however you choose to deal with me, as far as I am concerned, my attitude towards you is that under all circumstances, I am your unconditional servitor. This is the essence of pure devotion. So, succinctly that is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam also. Bhakti pareshanu bhavo virakti ranyatra. Bhakti, or devotion to Krishna, means actual experience of God. It's not simply a business deal with God, but bhakti means to experience God. That is possible. How is that possible? Bhaktya mama vijanati yavanyastasmitanata. One can actually experience God. Titamang tatpato gyadva vishate tadanantara. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that one can actually enter into my nature or experience me by bhakti. So bhakti is, pure devotion is both the means and the end. And that is and that is understood or that is expressed. Bhakti Parishama Baba, what are the symptoms of someone who has is actually experiencing God? Virakti Ranyatra. He has no attachment to anything else. He's detached from everything else. So if someone is apparently a great devotee, but is attached to name, fame, money, women, or any kind of material amelioration, or even if he's attached to the idea of becoming liberated from the sufferings of this material world, that is not pure devotion. That is because he is attached to other things. Sometimes we see people who are great speakers on the subject of Srimad Bhagavatam, and the way they speak is very appealing to people's sentiments. But at the same time we see that they're attached to the name and the fame, and they're attached to the monetary contributions of their followers, which they use for living a very comfortable life and living in a very big bungalow and marrying their daughters for crores of rupees they're spending at the wedding. So this is not actual devotion. Devotion means that one has to be detached from any kind of material amelioration. This is possible when one is actually surrendered to Krishna. There is no question of devotion if there is no surrender. It's relatively easy to speak about devotion, or even to speak about very elevated stages of devotion, or even to show oneself as a great devotee. But real surrender, it's even easy to talk about surrender. But real surrender, that is also understood by its characteristics. Surrender is the essence of devotion. That is the prerequisite for devotion. Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Savadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja. Give up all varieties of concocted religion and surrender to me only. This is the same in essence as bhakti parishana bhava virakti ranyatra. Virakti ranyatra means detachment from everything else. That means surrender to Krishna only. So if one is, again the same point comes, if one is still attached to everything else in this material world, then he hasn't come to the proper standard of devotion. Because surrender means only to Krishna. Fully concentrating on Krishna. And what is that surrender? Even someone may say, yes, I am surrendered to Krishna. But that is also to be understood by its characteristics. What is surrender? That Rupa Goswami has also defined what is surrender. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam, rakshishyatiti vishvaso, guptritve varanam tatha, atmanikshepa karpanye, shalvidha sharanagati. He has given six broad characteristics of surrender, which will be present in the person of a devotee who is actually surrendered to Krishna. The first is that one, he is very firmly fixed in the vow to perform only activities which are favorable for the nourishment of his devotional service to Krishna. And pratikulyasya vajanam, he rejects any activities, thoughts, association, food, anything and everything which is against the principle of the proper nourishment of the development of devotional service. Rakshishyatiti vishvaso. Being fully surrendered to Krishna, a devotee has firm faith that surely Krishna will protect me and help me. Goptritve varanam tatha. And therefore he's fully dependent on Krishna. He doesn't depend on anyone else or anything else, not any demigod or any worldly person. He only depends upon Krishna. He has the sense that surely Krishna will look after me. He has firm faith in that. Then atmanikshepa. This means to surrender to Krishna with body, mind and words. Not only words, not only speaking, but engages his body fully in the service of Krishna. Tanuvang manobhi. This is many times. Kai manuvakya. This is many times expressed in the Vedic literatures in different ways. How by body, mind and words, a devotee is absorbed in service to Krishna. How the
how this is practically done, this is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the description of Ambarish Maharaj, that first of all, he placed his mind at the lotus feet of Krishna, Savayamana Krishna Padaravinda, Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunarnavanana, and his words he used in the descriptions of the qualities of Lord Krishna. And then his body he used in different ways, Karohare Mandira Majana Adishu, his hands he used for cleaning the temple, his legs he used for going to the temple of the Lord. His body he used in embracing the devotees of the Lord. So the devotee surrenders mind, body, words, everything in the service of Krishna. And Karpanya, a devotee feels himself very humble. This is an important characteristic of a pure devotee. Someone may be advertised as a great devotee, and he may be enjoying that advertisement. But an actual devotee never thinks, even though he is the greatest devotee, he never thinks of himself as a great devotee. He's always humble and meek and thinks of himself as very lowly and fallen. So these are six symptoms of someone who is actually a devotee. Of course, being a devotee is not simply a set of formulas. It's not a mechanical process. Devotion means feeling for Krishna. Of course, the way bhakti is artificially advertised, people think that bhakti means only feeling. But the feeling must be backed up by practical surrender. It's not enough to say that simply that I love Krishna. But one has to show that he loves Krishna by his activities. I love Krishna, but I perform all my activities for my family and country and my own personal sense gratification. That means you don't actually love Krishna, because true love is one-pointed. So feelings are also there, but those feelings, again, they're not simply some meaningless sentiment. But the devotee has feeling for Krishna, understanding his position. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matas sarvam pravatate iti madva bhajante mam bhudha bhava samamita. A devotee knows that, a real devotee knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the source of everything. Everything is generated from him. He is the greatest. He is supreme. So knowing this, a devotee engages in the service of Krishna. Knowing that Krishna is a person, he's the most powerful person. At the same time, he's replete with all wonderful qualities. So understanding Krishna's position, a devotee engages in the service of Krishna. And by engaging in that service, then his feelings for Krishna naturally awaken. If one does not have a proper understanding of Krishna, but attempts to take up the process of devotional service, then he cannot make progress. One has to understand actually who is Krishna, what is our relationship with him, and what is the ultimate goal of life. Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayoja. These are the topics of devotion are divided in three categories. Sambandha, understanding who is God and what is our relationship with him. Abhideya, what is the proper way to act in that relationship. And Prayojan means ultimately, what is the ultimate goal of going back home, back to Godhead. So devotion to Krishna can be properly developed when one regularly hears about Krishna and understands who is Krishna. Tachchatadhamanamunayo gyanavairagya-yuktaya prashanti-atmani-chatmanam bhaktya-shuta-vihitaya. Bhakti cannot be developed properly unless one hears properly from the authorized source who is Krishna. Bhaktya-shuta-vihitaya. Bhakti is understood by the hearing process. So hearing and engaging in the service of Krishna. Nityam bhagavata-sevaya. By engaging in the service of the Bhagavat, that means hearing the message of Bhagavatam and serving the great devotees. Susushu sharathanasya vasudeva katharuchi. By serving the great devotees, one's taste for hearing about Krishna increases. And by hearing about Krishna, one understands Krishna, one becomes naturally enlivened to engage in the service of Krishna as he understands more and more that my constitutional position is to serve Krishna. Jivesaro koi Krishna nitya das. Our constitutional position is to serve Krishna. So as we hear about this from devotees, how Krishna is so great, how he is so wonderful, how we cannot be happy except by serving Krishna, as one becomes more and more convinced of this, by serving, by hearing, and by being engaged practically in devotional service, then one's faith in Krishna, his love and devotion, they naturally arouse. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Shadha Kabunoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chite Koriya Yudai. Devotion to Krishna is the natural characteristic of the soul. It is not an artificial imposition. It is not some kind of mental manipulation, but it is the natural characteristic of the soul that becomes manifest as one engages in the activities of devotional service. Devotional service is both the means and the end. By engaging in the activities of Krishna consciousness, one's natural feeling for engaging Krishna consciousness arises. Just like a child naturally has the ability to walk and talk, and he is coaxed by his parents into doing that and helped to do that, and then naturally that ability becomes manifest, and after some time he walks and talks very naturally. That is naturally inherent in his person, but it has to be brought out with some help and guidance. So devotional service to Krishna is inherent. We are all servants of Krishna. This important point, service, devotion is not just feeling, but devotion means service to Krishna, because that is our constitutional position, to serve Krishna. And by serving Krishna, the feelings become manifest. Feeling is the essence of devotion, but that feeling becomes manifest by and is expressed by service. It's not simply a matter of feeling. Many times I give the example that if a man comes home from work and his wife greets him that, oh, I love you so much, I have so much feeling for you. So he's saying, well, that's very nice. What did you cook for my dinner? I didn't cook anything. I didn't feel like cooking anything, but I do love you. I assure you that I love you. So this is not devotion. To say I love you, but not to perform the duty of service. This means that love is not real. Who has got real love doesn't have to say I love you. But by service, that will be manifest, that will be expressed. One who doesn't have love may profess that I have love. But if he doesn't serve according to the way the object of love requires to be served or desires to be served, then that is not actual devotion. Therefore, real devotion can only manifest if one is properly connected with a devotee who is himself properly connected with Krishna. Then devotion, as it properly is, can be taught and manifest. That can be manifest in the heart of one who has got devotion. He can give devotion. One who has not got devotion cannot properly. One who is not properly situated in devotional service cannot properly guide or train others in devotional service. So, what is proper and what is improper? That means one has to come in the parampara of bona fide devotees. Krishna himself teaches the science of devotion at the beginning of creation to Brahma, the first created being. Brahma teaches his disciples, and in this way, since time immemorial, the science of devotion is being taught. So one may ask, well then, how is there any question of artificial devotion as this is coming from time immemorial? The point is that sometimes someone who is taught properly, he imagines something or speculates something which is not the proper message and teaches that to others. And then the parampara is broken. Just like we see that someone may be the disciple of a great devotee. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's a great devotee. He may be accepted as an aspiring disciple and initiated. But if he himself does not follow body, mind and words in all respects, the proper devotees, then he has fallen from the position of devotion. And although he may have some knowledge of the science of devotional service, but if he teaches that with any change, then who follows him, they become deviated. Any change means that some personal motivation has entered in. Because what Krishna teaches is pure devotion to himself. And what the great acharyas teach is pure devotion to Krishna. And if anyone changes that message, even slightly, that means that they have, because the message of pure devotion is spotless, there's no tinge of personal sense gratification in there. So if anyone changes that message, then that means they've done that for some personal motivation. And then gradually someone changes something else. And the whole message of devotion gets, contaminated by wrong ideas. So that we have to see one characteristic of a proper devotee is that he's properly situated, he has the proper symptoms of surrender. Of course, these symptoms of surrender, they are mental attitudes. But how are they actually expressed in the behavior and characteristics of a devotee? That is described, that verse says, buddha bhava samambita. What? Worshipping Krishna with feeling. So how are those feelings practically expressed? That is described again by Rupa Goswami in his Nectar of Devotion. That one who has attained to bhava, or has attained the stage of ecstatic love of Krishna, which is just prior to full unalloyed devotion. There are certain symptoms of behavior of a devotee who's actually progressed in devotional service. Rupa Goswami lists 9 symptoms. The first is kshanti. It means he's very tolerant of material conditions. He's detached from material conditions. Whatever is going on in the world, he sticks with his devotional service to Krishna. Whatever anyone may say or do, whatever disturbances may come, he is determined to continue with his devotional service to Krishna. Abhyartha kalatvam. He doesn't want to waste any time. He doesn't have any time for material sense gratification, talking about things not related to Krishna, doing things which are not related to Krishna, thinking of things which are not related to Krishna. All his time is engaged in the service of Krishna. Virakti, again this word is given. He's detached from all kinds of material sense gratification, either subtle or gross. Mana shunyata, he doesn't desire any honor for his devotional service. Naturally, someone who is serving Krishna very sincerely, other devotees will praise him that you're serving Krishna so nicely. But and some devotees, they find some pleasure. They find some pleasure in that. They like to be praised, and they perform devotional service, or even cut a profile of being a great devotee, of being very humble and detached and not wanting praise. But actually, they very much do want praise. But who is actually a pure devotee, he doesn't want any praise or recognition for his devotional service. Ashabandha. He's always got great hope that Krishna will deliver me. He doesn't become, this is a symptom of his faith in Krishna, that surely Krishna will give me pure devotional service if I simply go on with this. He doesn't become hopeless or depressed or disappointed, but always hopeful that surely, maybe even after millions of lifetimes, Krishna will bless me with the dust of his lotus feet. He has great hope, great desire of attaining to pure devotional service. And Sumutkanta is very eager, very eagerly engaged in devotional service, very enthusiastically engaged in devotional service. Then, what is it? Namagani Sadaruji. He's attached. He takes pleasure in chanting the holy names of Krishna. And Pritistat Vasatistale. He's also likes to live in the place of Krishna's pastimes. Either Vrindavan, Mathura, Mayapur, Puri, there are so many places, holy places which are connected with Krishna. Or the temple of Krishna. Krishna is also living in the temple. So he likes to live in the temple or come to the temple. He's attached to these things. He's detached from material sense gratification and attached to Krishna. So these are symptoms. Another very important symptom that Madhvacharya has noted is that we may understand a great devotee who's actually advanced devotee. He's very steady in his devotional service. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, day in, day out. Very steady. It's not that he's sometimes enthusiastic, sometimes not enthusiastic. Not that he's engaging in devotional service, but sometimes he takes a holiday. But very steadily engaged in his service to Guru and Krishna. So these general symptoms are given, just like general symptom of beautiful woman may be described, general symptom of a rich man may be described. But the general symptom of devotees can also be understood, who is actually a devotee. But at the same time, it may be difficult to understand who is actually a great devotee, because who is actually a great devotee, they don't like to show themselves as great devotees. And even someone may be a great devotee, and they may not be recognized, or someone may be artificially recognized as a great devotee, because they have some of the symptoms which you would expect in a great devotee. But other symptoms, or other characteristics that they have, such as desire for name and fame, they may keep it covered. They may not even be aware of it themselves. So it may be difficult to understand who is a great devotee. We know that Pundarik Vidyanidhi was a great devotee of Krishna, but Gadadhar Pandit, who himself was a great devotee, at first he could not recognize him, because externally he appeared to be a sense enjoyer of this material world. Who would think that the gopis are the greatest devotees? They don't know, they're not great scholars of scripture, they're not born in very high families, they don't appear to be, they appear to be simply attached to living in just ordinary household life. So who would know that the gopis are the greatest devotees? That was revealed by those who are themselves great devotees, especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recognized Ramya Kachada Prasana Vraja Vadhu Vangina Ya Kalpita. He has recognized that the greatest devotees are the gopis. And there are many great devotees who they may not be learned scholars, they may not be born in very high families, or even sometimes great devotees, they do things which appear to be improper. Just like there are some devotees of Krishna who don't recognize the gopis as great devotees because they appear to be immoral from the external point of view. And that we even know there are some great devotees, they weren't even vegetarian. Just like Jatayu and Vulture, the great devotee of Lord Ram, was not a vegetarian because he is Vulture. And Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu, he eats snakes and fish. He's also not vegetarian, but he's the carrier of Lord Vishnu. Also a great devotee. And we hear that some great devotees, Kalidas is described, one great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. Sometimes he used to play dice. Bhangshidas Babaji Maharaj, sometimes he would, not so regularly, he would smoke tobacco. So these are not the characteristics we would generally expect of great devotees, but they have been revealed that they are actually great devotees by other great devotees, or in the case of Jatayu, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, has recognized and accepted him. So those who are very great devotees, they may not even follow the ordinary regulated principles, but this is not to be imitated. Once in Indore, there was one, Prabhupada was there with a party of his disciples, and there was one man who appeared to be very devoted, and he was regularly coming to the devotees and discussing with them about Bhagavad Gita and different topics from scripture. and expressing his appreciation and joining in the kirtan. And he appeared to be a great devotee, and people of the area recognized that he's a great devotee. But then the devotees were surprised to see that he was drinking tea. And they asked, Prabhupada's disciples asked, why are you drinking tea? He said, I am an avadhut. The devotees asked Prabhupada what this meant, and Prabhupada became very angry. An avadhut means someone who is above the rules and regulations, Prabhupada explained. Generally this word is used in relation with Nityananda Prabhu. But if someone is not above the rules and regulations, who is not actually totally absorbed in service to Krishna, if he breaks the rules and regulations, that means actually he's attached to material sense gratification, but artificially he wants to advertise himself as a great devotee. So this is, in the name of devotion, people like this are actually misrepresenting what is the proper path of devotion. Therefore, for all devotees except those who have actually attained the highest stage, Rupa Goswami, again quoting from Narada Pancharatra, teaches us how we should behave in devotion. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidhin Vina Aikantiki Hare Bhakti Utpata Yaiva Kalpate. That devotional service must be performed according to the scriptural injunctions. If it is not, then it is simply a disturbance in society. So people who advertise themselves as great devotees because they can speak very nicely, or they sing very loudly in kirtan and jump and dance, but who don't follow the rules and regulations given in scripture, then not only are they not properly situated as devotees, but they cause a disturbance in the path of devotion, because then other people think that it's all right to be a devotee for monetary gain, or real devotion means to make a big show, and rules and regulations are not very important. The rules and regulations are absolutely important for those who have not come to the highest stage. Therefore, generally those who are on the highest stage, they follow the rules and regulations just so that people don't imitate them and say, well, he is a great devotee and he smoked, therefore I will smoke. Just like someone, he may say, well, Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj, he used to smoke tobacco, so I can also smoke. But then Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj, he never passed stool and urine. So you also stop passing stool and urine. Then you think about smoking. And he is one. We don't have any other record of any other great devotee smoking. Or someone may say Prabhupada recognized his father as a pure devotee of Krishna. He also said that he used to get up a little late in the morning. But that doesn't mean he is one devotee. Generally devotees rise early in the morning. That doesn't mean that one devotee, he is a pure devotee, he rose late, and all the other Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda, the other unlimited devotees, they all rose early. And you will take the, who are not on the platform of a pure devotee, you want to take the non-standard behavior of one pure devotee and implement that in your life as in, for your own sense gratification, to avoid following the process of devotional service. So this is cheating in the name of so-called devotion. We should be very careful of this. It's not necessary to be a great scholar. It's not necessary to be born in a high family. It's not necessary. Even one may not have a big position in the society. One may not be a sannyasi or a guru or a leading devotee. One may be an apparently very humble devotee. He may just be sweeping the floor or doing some humble service. He may be a great devotee. And maybe someone who's got a big position, maybe they are burdened by desires for name and fame that an apparently humble or less significant devotee is not. It may be that someone who is performing some humble service is actually a greater devotee than someone who is apparently doing very big service. But at the same time, we shouldn't think that artificial displays of humility or artificial show of devotion is actual devotion. This is quite common, that sometimes people imitate the symptoms of pure devotees, because in scriptures it is described that pure devotees, they experience 8 different kinds of bodily transformations, such as crying, rolling on the ground, trembling, shedding tears. Great devotees, they sometimes exhibit these symptoms automatically. They exhibit symptoms of due to excessive emotion, but due to profuse absorption in Krishna and love for Krishna, then they lose control of their mind and senses, and they cry, they run here and there, they call out, Krishna, Krishna. These are symptoms of great pure devotees. But these spring automatically from the heart of a pure devotee. It's not that by imitating such symptoms that one develops the internal consciousness of a pure devotee. This is often misunderstood. Sometimes people, they do these things. They roll on the ground as if absorbed in ecstasy. They shed tears as if absorbed in ecstasy. But actually the desire in their heart is to impress others so that others will praise them as a great devotee. Therefore, especially in the modern age, great devotees, even though they feel these symptoms, but they suppress them because these symptoms have been imitated by imitative artificial devotees. Therefore, those who are actually great devotees, they don't show these symptoms in public. They don't want to advertise their devotion to others. So the actual symptom of a great devotee, just like the gopis, they're recognized as the greatest devotees. Why? What is it about the gopis that makes them the greatest devotees? Devotion means devotional service, service to Krishna. So who has got the spirit of selfless service in the greatest degree? They are the greatest devotees. The gopis are considered the greatest devotees because they sacrifice everything for Krishna. They have no spirit of even worldly honor, prestige. Even the gopis, they're so much interested in the pleasure of Krishna without any personal desire that naturally they would like to associate with Krishna. But if they see that Krishna wants to associate with another gopi, then they will make all arrangements for Krishna to associate with that gopi. Actually, the gopis in Vrindavan, they're all concerned with uniting Krishna with Radharani, because they know that Radharani gives the greatest pleasure to Krishna. Therefore, the gopis, they're always concerned not how they can enjoy Krishna personally, but how they can bring Krishna and Radha together, because they know that will give Krishna the greatest pleasure. They sacrifice all their personal pleasure. Their own pleasure is in seeing Krishna happy. Now this is a crucial point that separates real devotees from artificial devotees. That artificial devotees, they like to chant Hare Krishna or speak about Krishna or even perform some service for Krishna. But their aim is how I will be happy. Just like sometimes we hear people, they sing in a very beautiful voice, but they're enjoying the sound of their own voice. Or they're enjoying the musical melody, they're performing the musical melodies, and the musical melody is pleasing, but they're enjoying that for their own personal sense gratification. We should perform kirtan for the sake of pleasing Krishna. Not that how I will be pleased by hearing the nice sound. How I will be pleased by hearing the sound of my own beautiful voice. But rather, how Krishna will be pleased. People like to hear stories of Krishna because it gives them pleasure. So that's also nice. But one should also be prepared to hear how one can increase his devotion for Krishna by becoming detached from the objects of material sense enjoyment, by understanding clearly the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, real devotees, or those who are aspiring to be real devotees, they are not interested only in hearing the stories of Krishna, but they're very attentive to hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness explained. Sometimes we hear it said that Srila Prabhupada was just teaching ordinary level, and others are greater devotees because they teach on a higher level. But Prabhupada was teaching what we needed to hear. Therefore he is the greatest devotee, because he gave us what we needed to hear so that we could gradually become purified and actually advance in devotional service. Some people there advertise that they make some propaganda that actually Srila Prabhupada wasn't such a great devotee because he only taught basic things and we are teaching higher things. But it's not that Prabhupada didn't know these things, but he knew what we needed to hear. And therefore he taught that and he practically demonstrated. Some people are advertised as great devotees because they talk on very high topics. But real devotion means to serve Krishna as he wants to be served. And Krishna, in his form as Lord Chaitanya, has expressed his desire that Krishna consciousness be spread all over the world. So that happened because Srila Prabhupada took the trouble to go to the West, which nowadays people say, well, anyone could have done that. And it's true. Theoretically, any of the followers of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati could have done that. But factually, only one did. Only one had that much compassion, only one had that much surrender to the order of Guru and Krishna to actually do it. And although anyone could theoretically do it, who else was to take the difficulties, risking his life, taking all discomforts, to go among people who had no idea of human civilization, cook for them, feed them, teach them very basic points of Krishna consciousness so they can enter into devotional service? It took so much trouble. Just the same point, someone may say, talk about love, but real love means to selflessly serve. And Prabhupada selflessly served the whole world, and particularly those who came to him as his disciples, by giving them Krishna consciousness and tolerating all their nonsense to gradually bring them to the actual standard of Krishna consciousness. In other words, he didn't just talk about devotion to Krishna, but he practically demonstrated it in his own life and took so much trouble to give that to others. He wasn't just sitting on a seat delivering lectures. That he was doing also. But every moment of his life was dedicated to helping others come up to the standard of devotion. This is the standard of the gopis. That they are more interested in bringing others to Krishna because they know this will please Krishna. So in the same way, those who are actually devotees of Krishna, they're interested in bringing people to Krishna. And they know how to bring people to Krishna. They don't artificially try to bring them up to the highest stages when they're not even fit. When they're not fit for that. It's just like a mother expresses her love for her child. She doesn't force him to do gymnastic exercises. But the child, first she feeds him, helps him to grow up, and then later when he's older, his body has developed, then the mother may direct the child to how to do exercise and keep the body fit and become very strong. But in the beginning, if you try to teach a five-year-old all these things, it's not actually helpful, it's actually a violence on the child. Or if you try to force the child, better example, if you try to force the child, you want your child to be a great scholar, a great achiever. So at the age of five, you try to force him to understand topics that are taught to 15-year-olds or college-going. So that the child may have a false sense of superiority over the other five-year-old children. But factually, he may even mouth the words of Shakespeare or whatever his mother's teaching him. But he doesn't have any proper understanding of it because he hasn't understood ABC. The real mother knows how to teach the child step by step. So service means to serve Krishna as he wants, not as I want, not according to my desire, but as Krishna wants. And we have to learn how to serve Krishna as he wants, according to what Krishna says and according to how his authorized devotees in Parampara teach us. The authorized devotees in Parampara, following in the footsteps of the gopis, don't try to enjoy Krishna, but they try to serve him. So, in summary, we should understand what is pure devotional service according to its symptoms, as described in scriptures, as taught to us by our acharyas, especially Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. We went through all the scriptures, Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipano, Sandharma Sanstapako, for the sake of establishing the actual religious principles. Lokanam hitakarino chibhuvane manyo. He is, Rupa Goswami is worshipped throughout the three worlds because he acted, why he went through all the different books and gathered, and what are the actual points of pure devotion? Because he wanted to benefit people throughout the world. So we should understand what is pure devotion. We should understand what is artificial devotion, artificial show of devotion. It's if someone, it's not that if simply if someone is speaking nicely or talking nicely, or they have some apparently wonderful philosophical understanding, that they are properly situated in devotional service. We have to aspire for pure devotional service by following the process of devotional service as given by the acharyas. And if we do that, we will be very safely situated. We will gradually make progress on the path of achieving pure devotional service. But if we deviate even slightly from the proper path of pure devotional service, then we will be bereft of pure devotional service. Hare Krishna. Is there any question?
Of course.
The question is that artificial imitation, if we do that, then after some time it will naturally come to us. That is true to some extent. Just like if we, in the process of sadhana bhakti, of vaidhi sadhana, we follow rules and regulations as given to us by the acharyas, such as rising early and going to kirtan, because we do this according to rule and regulation, because by coming into the kirtan, by hearing the name of Krishna, then gradually we will gain a taste for chanting and hearing the names of Krishna. And then automatically we will want to chant Hare Krishna, even without rules to govern us. But exactly what we should follow and how we should follow, it's not that just if we perform any activities that automatically will be situated in that. It's just like the same example. The mother wants the child to be a great scholar, but it's not that at the age of 5 she tries to teach Shakespeare. It's not that by teaching Shakespeare to a 5-year-old that he'll become a great scholar of Shakespeare. The process has to be followed step by step. The mother knows that now I have to teach the child, hold his hand and teach, and hold his hand with the pen and make the movement of A, B, C. This sign, this is A, is pronounced A. This sign is, this is V, is pronounced B. And step by step, then bringing words together, A plus N is An. O-N-E is pronounced one, and it means, it denotes one object. So gradually they're taught. The mother writes on, or the teacher writes on the board, A, B, C. The child imitates that or copies that. And the child imitates that or copies that, and gradually it comes naturally, just like now when we read, we automatically read the words. It comes to us automatically. But if in the beginning stages, before learning ABC, if you try to teach reading, it doesn't work. There's a process to be followed. So it's not true that simply by imitating the symptoms of great devotees, you become a great devotee. If you show crying, falling on the ground, but your heart is still full of lust and greed, the lust and greed don't go away. There's not the process to remove the lust and greed. There is a process to remove kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya. And when those contaminations on the heart are removed, then automatically the symptoms of pure devotion manifest. They're not artificially to be imitated. It's just like theoretically anyone can become the prime minister of this country. But by imitating the way he talks and dresses and introducing yourself as him, it will never make you him. You don't become the prime minister by imitating him. You could possibly become the prime minister by following the process of political ambitiousness. Is there any other question?
Yeah. In those days,
The question is that a great devotee is revealed by another great devotee. So how did Rahugana recognize John Bharat? So I should qualify that statement that sometimes great devotees, they're not recognized by the general public, and they may be revealed as great devotees, just like the gopis, like Bhaktisiddhanta Babaji. Although the general characteristics of a great devotee may be they may be recognizable by someone who has a general idea of devotion. Just John Bharat wasn't recognized until he spoke. And when he spoke, Rahugana Maharaj, who obviously had some background of pious activities and knowledge, he recognized that John Bharat was a great personality, a highly advanced personality, because who upon being chastised by the king would speak such a high philosophy of detachment? He could recognize that. He could recognize the basic characteristic, but then to understand, to come to the platform of Jar Bharat, to understand, Jar Bharat had to explain to him again and again. That Rahugana Maharaj asked Jar Bharat that how do you attain to such a stage? And Jar Bharat answered, Rahugana tapasanayati nachejiana nivapanadva nachandasam naiva jalalvi suryai vina mahat seva viha mahat. And now I'm forgetting the verse. Anyway, the point is that one can become a pure devotee by the grace of a pure devotee, not by any other method. So by the grace of Jara Bharat, combined with his own some background of pious activities, Rahugana Maharaj was able to have an initial recognition of Jara Bharat's greatness. So even we see, like Prabhupada, he was recognized as a great devotee even by people themselves who were somewhat inclined to pure devotion, but they may not have a clear understanding of pure devotion themselves. Even some Christians in the Western world, they recognize Prabhupada as a great devotee or a great saintly person. Many people in India recognize Prabhupada as a great devotee. They may have thought that they may have not clearly understood what it means to be a great devotee. They may have thought that Prabhupada is a great devotee like Tulsi Das or Kabir, or they may not have understood clearly what a pure devotee is, but they had a general idea due to their piety. Yeah, this is a very important point. Someone, due to their past piety, may be attracted to a saintly person who is not actually situated as a great devotee. And this is what's going on in the world today. That many people who have the symptoms of saintly persons are recognized or are accepted as great devotees by people who have an inclination towards pious life and devotion. There are many yogis and swamis and gurus and bhaktas in India who are recognized as great devotees. Who is recognizing them? Pious people, because impious people are not interested in devotion or even in a semblance of devotion. They're not attracted to saintly people, they're attracted to demoniac people. But those who are pious people, they're attracted to saintly people. So there are some people who in themselves may have some saintly characteristics, but who are not pure devotees, who are recognized by the public, by the pious public, as being great devotees, because they don't have proper information of who a real devotee is or what the symptoms of a real devotee are. Of course, when we say pious, it means they have some piety, but they may also have some impiety also, that they are attracted to saintliness and they're attracted to pious life or godly life. But at the same time, they're not, the feeling of the desire to surrender fully to Krishna hasn't come about. They're still desiring sense gratification, maybe in a pious way. Like demigods, they're Sakama Bhaktas. So such people are very much open to be cheated by those who recognize the opportunities that are there. Just like this L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of Scientology, he openly said that if you really want to make $1 million, the quickest way is to start your own religion. You heard that? So there's a case of a gross cheater.
And there may be other people who are cheating, but they don't even think themselves as cheaters, because they may be attached to impose. They may think, because they heard from someone else who was also misguided, that the ultimate we should perform bhakti, and ultimately we merge into the existence of God. This is another important prominent contamination, that many people think that bhakti is a stepping stone to gyan, or that by performing bhakti we will eventually become as good as God, or we'll merge into the existence of God. So this is a very common contamination on the path of bhakti in the modern world. So people, they don't know, because they have some piety, but at the same time they were not fortunate enough to come in contact with a pure devotee. They were misfortunate to come in contact with someone who's not a pure devotee. Therefore, what are the symptoms of actual devotion have to be preached by those who are pure devotees, who will take interest in such topics, those who have some piety and some attraction towards the life of pure devotion. Otherwise, in the name of devotion,